Hey everybody, welcome to Thursday, December 20th, Jumpcast, the only manga podcast to remain neutral in the war on Christmas. Joining me this week are Mike Lemieux and Emerson Pugh. How are you guys?
I figured the joke would be about the end of the world that's going to happen here in a few hours.
Well, if it happens, then this podcast won't be going up anyway.
Well, you'll probably get it up before midnight.
Maybe. It's 50-50 usually.
No, it would have been too pedestrian to say.
Yeah. All these easy Mayan jokes everyone's posting. So speaking of the end of the world, Beelzebub finished an arc.
Yay. Rather quickly.
Yeah. And the entire last issue didn't matter at all.
Nope.
They basically declare a reset with Beelz getting one star and Ivy getting the other.
But the judge, our favorite character from this arc, also makes the call that the children are allowed to fight too.
Because they're as natural as air.
He's not the judge. He's the liberation guy.
Yes, thank
you. I don't even know if he's that guy. He's just a dude that's there.
Making judgment calls.
Yes. Because nobody seems to know who he is.
That'd be handy to have in life, just a random person who makes decisions for you.
Like a coin?
No, a real person.
No, there's more weight to those decisions than just flipping a coin.
So you'd want a judge just walking around with you.
Yeah, it's like, which way should I go to work? I would take the uptown. It's like, thanks, Judge.
So, Iowa decides his sister should get involved if Beelz is going to be participating.
Which I think you said last week.
Yeah, because that would make sense. And yet it doesn't matter at all. Basically nothing here matters at all except that Hilda apparently has a weird eye.
Yeah, remember when they said Iowa still had demon powers for some reason?
Yeah. Doesn't matter.
He'll come back.
Yeah, I'm sure. He's going to hang around for a while, at least, I would imagine.
It's just strange that they stuck that in there. It makes me think that this chapter is, oh god, we got to finish this soon.
I really think he miscounted the week till Christmas. Because having a Santa chapter, you know, in January is not going to have the same effect.
Yeah. Or even on the 27th, which would be the next real chance of this.
So, Hilda's got a Sharingan, I guess.
Yeah.
Is the thing that comes up.
I was trying to think of which eye it was. The one that... Byakugan, I think, would be more accurate.
Yeah. Bakugan. That's like Byakuya and Bakugan combined.
Ugh. Wait, what was the actual name of the eye he has?
Who?
Neji.
The Bakugan.
It is the okay.
It's like
I thought it was... That was that, toy.
Isn't that Bakuman.
Bakuman's a manga about making manga.
Byakugan?
I'm pretty sure it's Byakugan.
Oh, there is a Y in there. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, Bakugan is the toy. God damn it, Japan.
Wait, right. No, I was thinking of the toy when I said, ugh. Never mind.
So Hilda has a Byakugan that lets her see things 10 times more slowly.
I could swear we've seen her other eye before. I didn't think her left eye was actually hidden all the time. I thought it was just her hairstyle.
I don't think it's supposed to look as different as it does in that one panel. Because you see it later, and it looks fine. Looks like a normal eye.
I'm just going to go back to a random chapter and see.
I'm sure there's a Beelzebub wiki that has the information somehow. Beelzebub's eye was seen in Chapter 7.
In the anime, it was miscolored.
So, Oga's big plan against Iba is punching him several times.
Punching him really, really hard.
With his move called Super Crunching Punch. So, and then he also knee drops him and calls it Merry Crunchmas.
Oga's great.
And it drives him through the stage. So they get the star and get declared the winners.
Yes.
And that's the end of that.
What a charmless couple.
Yes. Because they have no affection and just sort of flaccidly grab the star and stand there.
I love the panel of them putting it together just completely straight-faced with, like, action lines in the background.
Yeah. And so Iba and Kuneda part ways. And she explains that it's not a big deal that she lost. She was able to see the difference between her and Hilda. And if we had not already, if this were eligible for Best Blush, I would have put this on there. Because it's a really cute blush.
Yeah. She needs to get with Iva.
No. That would be settling.
I still think Oga just thinks they're going out anyway.
And Paco apologizes to Futaba.
Yes,
by licking her?
Yep.
Making the sound effect for licking.
I couldn't tell if was she just making the sound effect or was she trying to lick her?
I think she was just like onomatopoeing the, you know, pero pero pero, just saying it. Because it's Paco. She's crazy. And then one of Kanzaki's Yakuza dudes assumes that Paco is Kanzaki's girlfriend.
It occurs to me that Kanzaki and Paco are Nisekoi.
Yakuza. Oh, jeez.
It totally works out. It is the alternate universe Nisekoi.
Nisekoi before Nisekoi.
So Paco agrees to be Futaba's Santa, which means taking her to the mall with Kanzaki where he pays for everything.
And then meanwhile at the mall, all the other couples are having fun too.
For some reason, Izuma is there.
Well, not for some reason. He's a stalker.
Well, yes.
He seems almost like an annoying kid brother. He's just always asking Shizuka to look at things.
So somebody pointed out something to me on Plat the other day that apparently Izuma's part demon? And we just all totally forgot this?
I forgot that him and Tojo were taken away for training that was never shown or mentioned again.
Yes. And it never came up, like, even slightly. Huh.
I'm sure someday, maybe.
I don't know. This is a thing with manga these days, where they start sowing seed and never actually water them. But Furuichi tags along with Nene and other girls. Yeah. And he breaks down and begs them to spend time with him.
And
Nene agrees.
Yes, she's okay with it.
Yes. So clearly the Nene Furuichi couple is happening.
This is how you get ladies, everyone. You just beg and beg.
Eventually you'll break down their spirit.
Ah, love.
So Beale, Hilda, and Oga are waiting for Santa and start arguing in the middle of like what Beale could possibly want, the Gorgonzola monster or mechanical pencils. So they start fighting and Beale tells them that all he wanted was the star that they fought so hard to get.
Yeah, and they're both happy.
And because
through his dancing.
Yes. Because the principal / Santa saw them being happy, he decided there was no reason to come in and ask Beale what he wanted.
But he left them some Gorgonzola cheese anyway.
I told you that confusion was perfectly rational.
The end.
Yes. So that was sure the end of a Christmas arc.
Aside from the brevity of it, like, I liked it.
It just
kind of felt like it wrapped up a little too fast.
Well, like you said, I think he miscounted the weeks till Christmas.
It seems like there were supposed to be two more chapters.
Unless his arc was specifically about Kanzaki and Paco, in which case it worked out fine.
I found the last probably like two or three chapters lacking, but this one wrapped everything up pretty nicely.
There's been a bunch of great individual jokes, but I haven't felt like the chapters themselves have been great.
The only disappointment for me will be if Iba doesn't stick around, because this would be a waste of his return.
I'm also surprised that we can declare it now that Ishiyama did not get destroyed.
Yeah, that's something doesn't feel right.
Yeah. Like, that seems like the most likely thing that should have happened.
Maybe the next arc.
Yeah, Behemoth's counterattack. You know it's coming.
They've mentioned, like, we called two things at the beginning, that Behemoth will be Santa and that Ishiyama will get destroyed, and neither one happened. So it begs the question of what's going to happen, because they've made mention that right after winter break, they have to go back to Punk Ishiyama, the delinquent school.
Well, actually, that's the school that always gets destroyed, so maybe something's going to happen there.
It'd be funny if they just came back. It's like shoddy construction.
It's just all again. It's already rubble from some
the snow.
Unrelated thing.
That would be pretty great.
But if Oga just says goodbye to Saint Ishiyama, just blows up for no reason.
Beale gets sad that they're leaving and cries, and lightning strikes it and
yes,
burns to the ground.
Yeah, bunch of, I guess, not plot holes or hanging threads, but it kind of felt like more could have been done with this.
Yeah.
Not even just story-wise, just in general.
Oh, we didn't get to see any of the St. Ishiyama students that like Furuichi. I forget their names.
Oh, the sidekicks.
Yes.
What's his name and what's her name?
Yeah.
Oh, those guys. Yeah. They were in the first round and then they lost.
Yeah, but like every other couple got kind of a conclusion.
Yeah, the important couples.
I like to think of it as them, like, this is not their manga necessarily. They have some other separate manga that they're in, and they occasionally cross over into this one.
They're having a very nice, sweet Christmas right now.
Yes.
All this craziness is going on.
But yeah. Decent arc, but could have been done, or more could have been done with it.
Started off great.
Yeah. So speaking of things that start off great and then don't deliver, on to Bleach, which is now Beelzebub, but not as funny.
Thanks for stealing my comparison.
I did. I didn't remember where I heard it, so I remember I stole one of your comparisons.
You just took that low-hanging fruit away from both of us.
Yep. So yeah, Renji and Ichigo are still fighting.
In midair.
Because yes. That's new.
And also Khan is there for some reason.
In his clothes.
Yes. And I can't, like, is there really anything to this chapter besides they get fed and then fat Shinigami turns out not to be fat?
Well, she's Choji, you know. Her abilities use calories, so she has to fatten herself up before she can use them.
I was wondering where, like, it seems so familiar, but I can't remember which character did it, but yep.
Choji's even got the cheek things. She is Choji.
Yeah, this is kind of the exact same character.
And there's also that lady pirate from One Piece.
Oh, yeah, her too.
Oh, what's her face?
She was with Buggy for a while.
Yeah. Alvida, I think. Something like that.
Anyway. It seems kind of transparent to me that Ishimoto just randomly introducing a large-breasted, attractive female.
Ishimoto?
You mean Kubo? Or Kuwatite.
Yes. I mean, really, the... This chapter is just them eating and talking about nothing in particular.
And then boobs.
Yep.
That's pretty much it. I feel like this is a sort of blatant ratings grab.
I would like to point out that when you lose weight, the fat in the breast is usually the first to go. So.
Not in Soul Society. Something Ryatsu.
Yeah, they're filled with Ryatsu.
That's where her spirit energy is. That would actually make a lot of sense. The stronger you are, the bigger chest you have.
Then Orihime should probably not have constantly been the damsel in distress.
She secretly could have gotten out of every situation.
She probably could have.
She just needs Ichigo to save her, because it's her thing.
So, basically, the last dude healed their bodies, and this girl heals their spirit energy.
Yes, and she completely, without fanfare, mentions that she made the artificial soul.
Yeah. And Khan is there, and still nothing comes from it.
Yeah, he has, I guess, what you would call a reaction shot.
Or, I'm not even sure if that's supposed to be him, or just, like, illustrating what she's talking about.
A non-diegetic insert.
Yes. That.
Damn you, film majors. And then they point out that the next guy they go to gave birth to the Zanpakuto.
Yes, so... Heal their body, heal their souls, then they're going to heal their weapons. A lot of healing people in this elite guard squad.
Yes. Though I guess they're also pretty strong. Yeah. I would have liked this to be about the ending of the last chapter with Inohana and Kenpachi.
Of course you would.
We're never going to see that again. You guys are crazy.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. Whenever they bring out the cool Kenpachi thing, immediately what Kubotide does is... ruin it. So either he's never going to mention it again, or it's going to be terrible.
You know, it's going to come back, and it's going to be like Kenpachi surrounded by 100 dead hollows with Unohana going like, good, you've mastered it. And
yep.
That's it.
It's either going to be that, or it comes back, and Unohana's going to be like, you finally mastered how to heal. And Kenpachi joins the medical squad.
You've learned how to use three hands on your sword.
Ew.
God. Don't make it dirty. Don't make it dirty.
Hold on, I have a question. Wasn't the hot spring supposed to heal the Ryatsu?
It was supposed to heal their body.
But with Ryatsu?
Yes.
Yes, but...
So...
Uh-huh. I mean, it just replaced their blood, I think.
Yeah.
With Ryatsu blood.
I think it used Ryatsu to heal their wounds, and this is like getting MP, basically. Now they're overcharged on magic.
It's funny, because they'll explain every little thing in Bleach.
It's actually really dumb.
Yeah.
Right.
I think...
don't need any of this.
There's nothing to this chapter beyond that she has big boobs. That's literally it.
I mean, there's the chance for some revelations and discussion of, like, greater, you know, world-building stuff, but they just kind of blow right past it and, okay, on to the next place.
Yep.
It's like, this isn't even a training arc. They're not doing anything.
Eating is a kind of training.
They wanted to introduce this manga, Tsunade, so they did it as quickly as possible and then moved on. Which, I mean, if he wants to do that, fine, but I think at this point, Bleach's ratings are not the main concern. Just tell a good story.
It's been kind of the middle for a while. It's not too low, it's not too high.
Yeah. And he's going to get to finish it out regardless, so... Unless it really dips.
Or it gets really good.
I could see them giving him another manga, but not continuing Bleach necessarily, or just stretching it out forever.
I'm sure he'll get another manga regardless.
Yeah. But yeah, so I guess next time they're going to go heal their swords that for some reason Ichigo has out.
I didn't mind this chapter. It's just, it felt like it could have been a half a chapter.
Yeah.
It just ran in circles for the whole thing and then it was over. Especially after last week, which was actually a really good chapter.
Last week's was at least entertaining. This one was very low calorie. There was nothing of any real substance.
I get it.
Ba-dum-tsh. Yeah. Yeah, Bleach.
And it tries to be funny, but it's really hard for this manga to be funny after everything.
Also, the character X turning into a sexy woman thing, Bleach has done that before.
When?
Yoruichi.
Oh. Oh, yeah. That's
and they had the exact same reactions. Like the, oh my god, who are you?
And the hot springs were there, too.
Yep. Which they previously established as being a Yoruichi thing.
There was Nell, as well.
Yeah.
Sexy goat lady.
Did it happen last arc, too?
Oh, you mean the Fullbringer one?
Yeah.
No, not really.
Okay, so he managed to show restraint for an arc. But other than that, he does the transformation into sexy lady thing a lot.
So what do you guys think next week? Is Ichigo just going to get his Zanpakuto fixed without fanfare in one chapter?
I think they're going to tell him, oh, there's no way to fix it unless... he undergoes X trial.
Yeah. It is interesting to the idea of a Shinigami that's been around before there was Zanpakuto.
Yeah.
I do hope we get some good world building out of that, at least.
I don't think we're going to be entertained by it.
You're not too hopeful about Bleach? How dare you?
How does somebody give birth to Zanpakuto if it's a natural thing that happens to when you have a bunch of Ryatsu?
Maybe he was the first to get a bunch of Ryatsu.
I guess that makes sense. I mean, it just sort of happened to Ichigo. Granted, he needed training to get his Bankai, but his Zanpakuto came out on his own.
Yeah, this is like saying this is the person that gave birth to hair.
Well, he does have an afro.
True. Oh, I'm going to be so disappointed if he starts jive talking.
Oh, you know what's going to happen.
Ooh. Throwing in some yos.
It's the sunglasses, I think. That's what worries me.
So next week, possibly uncomfortable racism.
Could it be worse than Lloyd Royd?
No.
Lloyd Royd doctors.
All right, then. I guess we're done with Bleach? I guess you should say now that this is going to be a short episode because
we did like 4 hours of podcasting this week.
Well, there's that, and we just don't have much to talk about.
Oh, yes. There's no Nisei Koi or Assassination Classroom.
Yeah.
Nisei Koi hasn't been coming out lately, which is a bit weird.
The last time that happened, there was personal problems behind the scene.
Oh, right, right. Yeah. Group.
So I'm going to hold off, you know, saying any negative things about it because I don't know if...
An ice class could just be like any minute now, so...
Yeah, it could be up right now for all we know.
Yeah.
Nope.
It just wasn't before we started recording, so that's what matters. All right, then.
I'm sure some great stuff is going to happen in it.
I'm sure. Watch it be like the worst chapter. Right, so on to Naruto, where do we just get into it?
I think we need to lead up to it. So.
All right, so basically they're being shot with things, with wood attacks.
Yeah, because they put the first chakra into the Ten Tails.
His chakra is such a whore.
I'm telling you, you don't want to die in the Naruto universe because people just keep using you for centuries.
So, mainlining you.
So the perfect defense family, the Hyugas, like step up to try to protect everybody. So you have Hinata's dad, Neji, and Hinata all going to protect Naruto.
Yeah. And Neji mentions that he's doing, like, he's willing to sacrifice himself like his father did for the village.
Mm. So then Madara mentions that they should be able to control the Jubi until its next transformation. So
there's clearly another form.
Yeah, which I'm guessing is going to be even more human-like.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be surprised if this is just a giant person.
I'm betting it comes up looking like the Sage of the Ten Paths.
Six
paths, yeah. Paths? I think it might be six paths.
Six paths, yeah, that sounds better.
I just assume
it's a number of paths.
Ten tails.
You think it'll be like his true form and he had to separate out the nine-tailed beast to make himself human or something like that?
Or he just happens to look like it. Or he looks like Sasuke.
Oh, man. It's the original Uchiha, the Ten Tails.
Oh, I can see that happening too.
So, Madara goes on to talk about the end game here of Obito using Pain's technique to bring him back to life so he can become the Jinchuriki for the Ten Tails.
Yeah, so that's why he can't just get rid of Obito. Yeah. Because Obito has to sacrifice himself to bring everyone back.
And Obito fires back with, like, you know, well, you need me just as much as I need you, you know?
Yeah. Obito needs that genjutsu. Madara needs his body.
Yeah, so...
Meanwhile, Naruto is just throwing constant Rasen Shurikens at him.
Yes. While everybody else sidesteps as many giant spikes as they can.
Yes. And there's like 5 Naruto clones out there. I guess one of them is real?
One of them has to be real.
Yeah. Unless Naruto just hang... He fought the entire Pain thing from, like, a far distance away.
So anyway, Naruto stumbles after, you know, using up a bunch of chakra, and a wood spike comes right for him, and Hinata jumps right in the way, as she is wont to do.
Yes.
Which made me honestly gasp.
Yeah, I figured she was done for.
Yeah.
But then Neji jumps in front of Hinata.
And takes, like, 3 spikes all the way through him.
For like a set train sacrifice thing,
yes.
Where he takes all the damage for the person who was intending to take all the damage for Naruto.
And then a very, very sad scene as he tells Naruto, you know, this is what he wants.
Well, he also directly tells him, hey, Hinata's willing to die for you. What do you think that means? And Naruto's like, huh? What?
Somebody get a medic. He's talking crazy.
We'll never know what he meant. So he flashes back to that time when he fought Naruto in the Chunin Exam, which is actually one of my favorite fights.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah. And like when Naruto changed him and made him rethink his entire life.
Lots of changing lives in that arc.
Yeah.
Yeah, just about every evil person that talked to Naruto. And then Naruto asks why he would sacrifice his life for him, and he says, because someone called me a genius. And then, as he says that, the mark on his head fades away.
The Manji.
Yes. The caged bird seal.
Yes.
The not swastika.
Yes.
So now he's dead.
Yes.
So and of the last two chapters, that brings the named body count up to 3.
And a very depressing symbolism of a bird finally free in the air, getting hit with a wood spike and dying.
Yeah. Also, Obito's straight out taunting Naruto at this point.
Yep.
Just saying, oh, I guess you did let some of your teammates die. Whoops.
Yeah. What a good job, man. Naruto.
Hey, why don't you ask Neji how you're doing? Oh, wait.
So, the Hyugas tend to sacrifice themselves at the drop of a hat. Yeah. Neji's father went down immediately.
Neji's gone down twice so far.
Yeah. And Hinata went down in the pain fight.
And was perfectly willing to do so now.
Yeah. Hinata's father is probably off on the other side of the battlefield sacrificing himself for somebody else.
I was just
Choji, no!
He tried to protect the bird.
Okay, I gotta say, I was gonna laugh if a spike hit this Naruto and it just poofed away because it was a clone.
Oh.
And he just sees it poof in his final moments and just goes, God damn it.
He falls down.
I feel this loses a little impact because of how irrelevant Neji has been in the last 7 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's main, you know, he's always been there.
In the background somewhere.
Yeah. Like a chair.
I mean, it would be one thing if Neji was like Naruto's constant rival. But they put everyone in the background for Sasuke.
It's obvious he's cleaning up with characters that he can afford to kill.
Yes. But I don't know how permanent this is, because in this very chapter, Obito mentions that he has a spell that brings people back to life if he sacrifices himself.
That was worrying. Yep.
Yeah. The alarm bells in my head immediately went off, like, oh god, this is going to be pain again, isn't it?
I mean, but this is the end of the manga, so hopefully... You gotta have some character deaths when things get this real.
I can see him leaving, like, you know, Inochi and Shikamaru's dad dead.
I could even, you know, Neji, acceptable loss. As much as I like Neji.
I'm actually surprised it was Neji and not, like, Rock Lee or something.
I kind of figured Hinata's dad was going to jump in front and it was going to, you know, continue the new generation taking over for the old generation thing.
Just massive trauma for everybody.
Everyone is getting PTSD from this.
I do like what a dick Obito is now. Like, there was no reason to bring that up.
Just openly taunting Naruto about his comrade's deaths.
Yeah, that's probably going to cost him, but still, kind of hilarious.
It's going to make his defeat that much more satisfying.
So, you know, beyond the Neji death, we did learn a lot more about Madara's motives and plan this chapter.
Yeah. I don't think he really gives a shit about this genjutsu plan. Like, maybe to make himself god, but he's already the strongest ninja in the world. I think he just wants to come back to life and get his old body back.
And the Jinchuriki for the most powerful thing on the planet.
Yeah.
Thanks for the body. Peace!
He just needs to ride with Obito until that happens.
He'll pull a Gantz and bring Rin back and then kill her.
The Rin thing is going to be... whatever that turns out to be is going to be what causes Obito to go back to the good side.
Yeah. I really hope they don't... This doesn't end with Obito pulling a pain and sacrificing himself and...
I don't see how it doesn't. Like, he set it up too... The two events were too close to not matter.
It's worrying, at the very least.
Yeah.
It depends on how Obito feels about the truth about Rin.
If it were just, you know, I'm taking your body Orochimaru style, that would be different. But it's a jutsu that brings people back to life.
Yeah.
By sacrificing himself.
I think, at least for the moment, we shouldn't worry about it. Because that's just going to put a damper on basically every chapter that comes after this.
And every subsequent death?
Yeah.
Shizune just shows up to die again.
Just enjoy the deaths as they happen, so to speak.
The Shizune death is the one that makes me most angry about that pain arc, because her soul got separated from her body.
Yeah. And then... also, she hasn't been around since then, so, I mean, she may as well have just died.
Yeah, Sakura basically took her place. Because, you know, she was doing the medical tent stuff.
Oh yeah, Shizune.
Yeah, remember Shizune?
She had potential as a character.
Shinade's quote-unquote lady friend.
Her ward.
Uh-huh.
Her Robin.
Is that what they're calling it?
Yes.
That's going to make talking to Robin more awkward.
I'm just still amused by how all the Hyugas just jump in at once.
Yeah, the only thing that would have made that better is if Hinata's dad took one for Neji. Like, there was another extrapolation, like, pullback.
A nesting doll of sacrifice.
Hinata's sister isn't old enough to be involved in the Ninja Wars yet, right?
She was, like, what, 7 pre-time skip? So. Okay.
So she's not quite a genin yet.
I think she's in ninja school now. Maybe.
Yeah.
Something
Neji's dead.
Something I just noticed on a reread is they managed to trap the 10 tails within a giant barrier.
Earth vice. Yeah. As Neji is dying.
So, what do you think this does to Naruto's resolve now that somebody's, like, died for him right in front of him?
He's gonna get super mad and then channel Kyuubi Chakra.
Yeah. That's the stuff.
Also, I like how nobody cares how Hinata feels. She's just sort of in the background. Neji gives his dying words to Naruto.
Dude, Hinata wants to bone you.
Why aren't you getting this stab?
Do you see this wood inside me? Think about it.
Second base, guaranteed.
Looking at the bird that was being stabbed, that's really kind of sad imagery.
It's depressing.
That was unnecessary.
Hinata crying between those two panels.
I mean, do you remember his fight against Kitamaru, like the end of that fight, and his speech about a bird finally being free?
Vaguely?
Yeah. It's just depressing that, like, he got this new lease on life, cut to 2 years later, dead.
Well, it's a great ninja war. Shit happens.
Yeah. I'll miss Neji, but good death, I think. Unless
he was at one point my favorite character.
Yeah, I thought I remembered him being your favorite.
But, I mean, then he kind of fucked off for 7 years.
Well, Kiba was my favorite, and now I'm really scared because...
Just tear your way through the Konoha Genin.
I'm not going to mention my favorite, because...
Next week it'll be Shino just getting decapitated right in front of Naruto.
Ooh.
And Naruto go, who was that guy again?
Was he with us at Sasuke? No. Oh. Never mind, then.
That was Konohamaru's teacher, right?
No, that was Pain that he died. And then came back.
Did he die?
I'm pretty sure, because... he was fighting Pain, then Konohamaru Rasenganed him. He killed his teacher.
Right. Yeah, but everybody came back, so.
Yeah. Which is, like you said, we're just not going to worry about it until it happens, if it happens.
So, yeah, I would say next week we'll have some, like, downtime with the Jubi trapped. But I bet
he's not trapped anymore.
Well, no, he's in the vice thing. The inside.
No, he broke out.
Look at the last panel, or the bottom right panel of the last page. He breaks out.
Oh, yes, you're right. I totally missed that because of the dead bird imagery.
Which is why Obito is taunting him.
That's right. Now it all makes sense. I guess I didn't connect those two events.
So basically they've accomplished nothing and lost one Hyuga.
I was going to say, I bet when that thing opens again, it'll be in its third form, but I guess not.
I think the reason we were getting confused about Byakugan and Hyuga is that for some reason we were thinking of Byakuya.
Yes, that's what I thought you were getting confused about.
Oh, jeez. What's with the Biox?
What's with the Biox?
That's my new sitcom.
I was going to say, that's your, like, self-published rap album. It's like a concept, you know, it's kind of indie.
Yeah.
Biox,
please. Raps is Italian.
I'm currently touring coffee houses.
You're not actually being invited, you're just touring them.
You can find me on Bandcamp.
All right, so on to One Piece. Which has the cover image.
We talked about pre-podcast to figure out who the hell those people are that are with them.
Yeah. We think the guy at the top left is Brownbeard?
Maybe. It's somebody whose face is being obscured.
I think they would show his face if it were Brownbeard.
It's not Dragon, because the facial hair doesn't match up.
Yeah.
Is it...
I don't think it's Gold Roger.
Garp?
No.
No.
Have we seen Garp post-time skip?
No. But he wouldn't have black hair.
Oh, that's true.
So
does he show up in the movie?
I don't know. Yes, I think he's wearing like a Hawaiian shirt or something.
Ah, because he's tired.
Anyway, like what we're talking about is around the edge of the characters. There's, you know, Aoi Kiji and Doflamingo. Akainu, who has sweet mustache now.
Well, a 13-year-old mustache.
Peach fuzz.
Just kind of fuzz above his lip.
But then in the upper left, there's a character almost completely obscured by Frankie's robot.
Yeah. In the upper right, there's Big Mom. So presumably opposite to him, there'd be somebody of the same stature.
I think it's Kido, or whatever his name was.
The guy who took down Moria's crew?
Yeah, the other of the...
The Last Emperor we haven't seen.
Yeah. Come to think of it, yeah, Blackbeard, Shanks, and Big Mom are all on here. Those are three of the other four emperors.
Yeah.
Yonko.
Yes.
I think they showed a silhouette of Kido once.
Yeah, but Big Mom also ended up looking totally different from her early silhouette, too.
Yeah. Also, this picture has Beppo, which is probably the biggest deal.
Yeah.
So now we know Beppo's not dead. Hopefully.
At least in cover art continuity. Also, Kinemon's in with the Straw Hats. So.
Yeah.
That doesn't usually happen unless...
Well, in fairness, it's Law's crew and the Straw Hats.
Yeah.
It may just be everyone who's involved in this arc.
Yeah.
Except for G5.
Yeah. Screw those guys. They're not pirates.
Yeah. This is a One Piece thing for piracy.
Yeah, there's no smoker at Jishigi, so...
Yeah.
Screw those guys. They're not pirates.
So, when we left off last chapter, Baby 5 was approaching Frankie.
Yeah, and the spinning guy, whose name I can't remember.
Yeah, who cares? Spinning guy.
Yeah, that's good enough.
His name's not as interesting as Baby 5.
Baby 5 for 13th crew member.
So, I like that immediately Frankie just sees her and starts attacking. Like, not even missing a beat.
Blows up spinning guy.
Yeah. He just sees something. Like, did they actually explain why he shot, or is it just Frankie being Frankie?
It's a weird-looking bird, and he's protecting the island.
Yeah, he doesn't like birds.
Wouldn't you shoot anything approaching, like, the bad guy's headquarters at a high speed?
Sure, but, literally not missing a beat. It's like, oh, a thing, and he shoots.
So
Baby 5 starts counterattacking.
Yeah, they're also not sure what's attacking them, because it's much bigger than any of the Straw Hats. And they wonder if it's a pacifista.
Yeah. But he uses his general moves. His shield is general, I'm okay. Or no, his defense is general, I'm okay. His shield is general shield, which is a tiny little thing on his wrist that he throws Captain America style.
Yes.
I love that it's like the tiniest shield for a giant robot. So then we get to see Baby Five's Devil Fruit in action, which I thought... When they said she was a weapon lady, I thought that would be like, you know, weapons come out of her body, not that...
Right.
I think it's both. She can turn into a weapon, but she also can produce guns and stuff.
She turns into a sword with, like, long legs.
Yeah. And then she turns into a missile, which reminds me way too much of Bobobo.
I think it must actually be a direct reference, because it basically looks exactly like Torpedo Girl.
Yeah. So she gets launched at Frankie, and there's a big mushroom cloud explosion. Or not mushroom cloud, but a giant explosion.
Yeah. One that's probably not going to be great for keeping that ship afloat.
Yeah.
It
and I guess
okay.
The explosion woke up Caesar Crown, who realizes he cannot move. But he pulls out what is ostensibly Smoker's heart and says he's going to take Smoker down with him.
Cut to the research lab. Smoker and Law.
Yeah. Where they can't fight Caesar Crown, and they need him, otherwise things could go badly. And Luffy's like, I don't care. It's over. And I guess they saved Moga? Everyone's celebrating, so it seems like she's okay.
Well, she's still...
alive.
Sick.
Yeah, it's just... Chopper's still working on her, I think.
And finally somebody says Kinemon's name around Momonosuke.
Yes, and so he shows him his dead father.
Meanwhile, Harvey Monet has made it to a self-destruct thing for the island.
Yes. And then we're treated to a very disturbing speech from Doflamingo about how she should kill herself for him.
Yeah. Just sacrifice herself along with the island. And she's okay with his idea.
It's just such a weird thing to just tell them. It's like, oh, good, kill yourself for me.
Like, he doesn't even try to convince her. He does apologize to her.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know if that's him faking or he actually has general sympathy.
I doubt it. I would think it's the cult of personality thing of, like, I really care about you, but you should kill yourself for me. So this chapter ends with her opening up the safety guard for the button.
So let's just go ahead and say it. Caesar pretty clearly has her heart instead, right?
Yeah. That's going to be the twist.
Because it's the Oda-ist twist, but it also makes sense.
Because Smoker's not going to die.
It would be funny if she didn't. Like, Kira Crown didn't have her heart, and the island just blew up and they got out of fine.
It'd also be funny if Caesar had his own heart.
Oh, I can see that.
But, I mean, not...
I mean, I think he would know if he started squeezing it.
Yeah. Yeah, because they never tested out Smoker's heart before, right?
Yeah.
Not that I can remember. I was trying to think if they've ever used it.
Yes.
Have they?
When they were all in the cage.
Hmm.
He made, Smoker cough up blood.
Oh. Hmm. Maybe Law switch out the heart at some point.
He would. He's tricky.
Yeah, because that is the definitive Oda twist, is that he's going to stop Harpy Monet from destroying the island.
Yeah. But yeah, not a whole lot to say, really.
I actually kind of thought this arc was going to wrap up this week. I mean, it's getting there, but...
Yeah. I mean, it should wrap up probably the next 2 weeks at least. But the main thing here was the Frankie Baby 5 thing. Which, I'm guessing they're going to be able to retrieve Caesar Crown, otherwise them appearing doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Well,
unless Baby 5 is next crew member.
Yeah.
Or unless they were just there to destroy the ship.
I think they're there to create a link between Doflamingo and Caesar for everyone else. You know, so they have something to follow back to him.
Yeah, that would make sense. That they'll grab Caesar and everyone follows them back to Doflamingo. I'm amused that, like, Doflamingo does not even really hesitate to destroy that island. Like, not even just the people on it, but all that research and stuff, he doesn't care.
Well, all he needs is Caesar.
Yeah.
Doflamingo acts as, like, the abusive, emotional abusive boyfriend.
I think that's probably the parallel they're intending to draw. I think it's funny that Baby Five might be the only person that actually sees through him. Because her whole thing is she's in love with anybody who needs her. And Doflamingo explicitly does not need her. So I guess she picks up on that?
Except she still does whatever he says.
Well, she works for him. Is there actually anything to talk about anymore with this?
I don't know. I'm going back through One Piece trying to find where they're in the cage to see if it is Smoker. I just
Caesar's guys are following Usopp. So they're going to go with Usopp and everyone else.
And they also made mention of Virgo not being so lucky to survive, but that might just be because he's cut up into pieces.
Yeah. If the island blows up, he's not going to survive. Because he can't really get out of there.
Almost seems like a waste of a character.
Monet? Or Virgo?
Virgo.
Yeah. I don't know. I figure Virgo's going to come back.
Yeah. Like I said, I can imagine him coming back all bolted back together, since they can't actually put him back together without Law.
Yeah.
Or Staples.
Plus, he's so popular that I don't think anyone's going to believe Smoker and Tachiki.
Mm. You know, looking it up, I think they squeezed Law's heart, because when they were in the cage, Tachiki was still in Smoker's body. can't be sure.
I can see Law faking it or switching it at any point. I think the end result is that he clearly has Harpe Monet's heart.
Yeah, I mean, with his room power, yeah, he can kind of do whatever the hell he wants.
Let's see.
So with the artificial devil fruit, can they have a regular devil fruit as well?
Yeah, I don't think that, you know...
Because Harpe Monet has got to have more than one.
Oh, you mean having both at once?
Yeah.
Why does she have to have more than one?
Because she's a harpy, and they have animal devil fruit, which is the artificial one, the smile.
Law cut off people's body parts and put animal parts on there.
But did she do that for Harpe Monet, or is she a result of the fruit?
I don't think she got any fruit.
Because, I mean, they showed her just before Law came, as he came, as human.
Yes, before he worked on them.
Yeah, Brownbeard didn't have any fruit. He was...
Yeah. I just assumed that she had smile because she worked for Teacher Crown.
I mean, you know, artificial devil fruit and a real devil fruit at the same time. You know, maybe something that comes down the line, but I don't think it's going to be Harpe Monet that that revelation is made with.
I can see that as making sense. All right, so thoughts, predictions?
Yeah, I think we covered predictions.
Yeah.
It's going to be Harpy Money's heart. There's not, you know, the Straw Hats are just kind of on their way out of the island, and these events are going to play out. It's kind
of the denouement of this arc.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the end of the arc and basically the end of the year for Jump. So, I don't know when our next podcast will be. We're going to have content regardless, but I don't know when the next Jump will be.
Yeah, we'll have something every week.
Yes.
For a while.
We're less lazy than Jump. All right.
We're less lazy than the guys that draw 19 pages of content in a week.
Yes. Screw those guys.
Losers.
It's just black and white. Come on.
Ever tell you guys how Oda, like, goes to sleep at 2 a.m. and wakes up at 5?
Yes.
5 a.m., to be clear. Because he's a monster or something. Apparently Tezuka was the same way, just cranking stuff out.
Well, that's why Toriyama looks like he's 70 when he's actually like 50.
Worked themselves to death.
Well, Tezuka set a bad precedent for people because he was such a hard worker. Everyone thinks every mangaka has to be that strenuous.
When the first big one is the once in a lifetime super genius.
Yeah.
If the first mangaka ever was edgy, everyone else after is kind of fucked.
Yep.
Ugh.
All right, then. We're wrapping this up.
All right.
This has been your Thursday, December 20th Jumpcast. Guys, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
And we'll see you all next week. I'm making the Shanks image, just making me laugh.
Maybe he's like a hat fetishist.
Why did I give up this hat?
This one's named Cynthia. Oh, you naughty girl.
I should have not given this one to Luffy.